All right, good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high. We bless the Lord for the goodness of God and all the good singing that we've enjoyed together. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. In the book of Genesis, in chapter number 3. And as we begin to look there in the chapter and all of that business there and all of that, I'm reminded of these fine young men and young ladies that sing and read and pray and so forth and on. How old are you, Lucas? 13 years old. I can remember when we were in Crockett, Texas, when your mama was going into labor and had to go. And boy, I can remember when we all prayed and begged God, dear God, please hear our prayer. And this is a result of God hearing it. And many of these others, we could go and give that testimony. But since he stood so distinguished and read from the word of the Lord and all of that, articulated the word of God to us. What a good thing that is, all right? All right, chapter number in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 3, verse 21, if you find the place you're able to stand. In verse number 21, and unto Adam and also to his wife, the Lord made did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank you for these young men and these young ladies that you've birthed into our church, that we've seen grow up in grace and love and knowledge, many of them gotten saved, and Lord, serving thee. I pray you continue to move in our midst. Now in Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach on only God can clothe us. When you look into that lesson that's there, here's Adam and Eve. You'll find out that you remember that we wouldn't have needed verse number 21 had they not violated what God laid down in a command about what God forbade concerning the tree that, of good and evil that was in the midst, the tree of knowledge over in the midst of the garden. We wouldn't have even needed this passage here. But when you read that and you see coats of skin, those are two animals that died, obviously. And as a result of that, they made atonement. God made atonement for Adam and Eve, and they were redeemed by the blood that was shed in these coats of skin. I want to say to you that, if you will, that it's always been by the blood. It's by the blood right now. It'll always be by the blood, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I was thinking about, you know, in the day we live in, is that man has conjured up many ways. Fox News now, they want to act like they've got faith, football, and family. Or faith, family, and football, whatever it is. I put football first because that's really the way they practice it. But let me tell you right now, God could care less about football. If you like to watch a football game, I'm not knocking you and all this and that. But let me tell you, God ain't in football, or they wouldn't be having it on the Lord's Day. You see what I'm saying? Am I against football? Not at all. People walk, I'm not against baseball. I'm not against basketball. I'm not against, you know, a lot of times they need to put on more clothes, but and all of that. But I mean, I'm not the only one that's here that likes to watch Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Is it right? No. Your eyeballs jump out on the end of your nose, and you're thinking, my, they need more clothes. You're like the Pentecostal guy that went, and he was out there. They had a prayer call, and man, them women came forward, and everybody, and they was out rolling around. One old boy sitting in the back was sitting there just Google-eyed looking at them. And all of a sudden the preacher saw it and he said, if you look, God's going to strike you blind. And man, he throwed his hands over his eyes until directly said, I'm going to risk one eye. That's kind of where we are. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, that God's the only one that can adequately clothe us. And let me say to you, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, they were naked. And as a result of that, you know, you'll find out is that whenever they sinned, God opened up their eyes. And boy, when they saw themselves like God sees them, they go to trying to invent some kind of religion. In fact, is they got to sowing fig leaves. I don't know if it was fig leaf Baptist or fig leaf whatever, but they tried to cover themselves up. And when God came in the cool of the day and the voice of God began to sound out, Adam, where art thou? He began to tell them, and we hid ourselves. Why'd you hide yourself? Well, because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? Hast thou eat of the tree that I forbade thee and told thee not to? Of course, Adam, you know, like we all do, have a good explanation. That woman you gave me. She was lonely one day and decided, I just need somebody to talk to. And she did talk to him. But the devil knew exactly what she wanted to hear. And as a result of that, you'll find out is that she took the tree. The Bible said she was deceived. Adam went into it open-eyed and in behalf of her. Now, I want to say to you that if you will, you think for one minute that them being now a sinner, they weren't born, they were created beings, and they were created perfect, and they fell into the grace of God because of sin. I got to tell you something right now. Sin's like a spreading disease. Did you ever notice that? I mean, you can dibble a little and dabble a little in it, but let me tell you, it's going to spread further and further. It's going to get worse and worse. You know how it is, don't you? Starts out with the eye gate. Then after that, it's not long until the hand. Don't you remember that the Bible said that if you look to lust, you'll reach to touch? You remember that slogan over there when Jesus told them? And let me say to you, that's the way that it is. Whatever it is you cater to in your life, that's what the world is doing. And without hope, without God, and let me tell you, they feel pretty good about themselves till you open it up, the Word of the Lord, and you begin to show them what God says concerning that matter. You remember Cain, don't you? Well, he's one of the sons, Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, after they'd sinned, after they'd been atoned for by the Lord himself. After the blood had been applied, don't you think they taught that lesson to Cain and Abel? Don't you think so? Adam and Eve teaching their boys, you know, hey, listen, do you realize and know that we had it made? We was in the Garden of Eden, and everything was beautiful, but one tree we couldn't take of, and that's the one thing we've decided to go ahead and take of and lose everything in the human race on top of it. They no doubt taught about the atonement of the blood. They had to. They taught their children about that. But you see, it didn't take in Cain. He decided, you know, I don't like that bloody religion. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and plow and plant. I'm going to have some beautiful things that are going to be produced, and I'm going to offer unto God. I'm just not going to offer that bloody religion that God has demanded. And as a result of that, here's old Cain, buddy, plowing and planting and got plentiful things to be able to show and piles it up. Abel, on the other hand, is a man that just believed God. He believed the Bible. He believed his parents. And as a result of it, you'll find out that he's there going to do what he can to please the Lord. And he tries to atone by the blood. I want to say to you that, if you will, that it's always been that way. It's that way right now. It'll be that way tomorrow. This world we're living in likes their own man-made, beautified religion, and they hate that blood-bought way, and the only way God will accept is his own way, which is the blood-bought way. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that sin's like a spreading disease. Don't lose your thought here, but look over in the book of Isaiah. There's a passage that we'll look at in chapter 1, Isaiah chapter number 1, and it's about verse number 5, and I want you to see if you can relate to what's going on in the world that we're living in right now. Listen, do you remember that the Bible, while you turn to first Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll be looking there, but do you remember over there whenever God warned them over in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 5 and verse number 6 about that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In other words, it goes to spreading, doesn't it? Well, in Isaiah chapter 1 in verse number 5 through 7, here's what he said. Why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? And the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed and neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country, look at it, is desolate. Your cities are burned up with fire. Your land, the strangers devour it. Y'all ever notice any strangers in our land? Strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And I want to tell you right now, that's where we are in America. And let me say to you that every time that you let idolatrous, godless, wicked, madmen and women begin to come in and infiltrate your family and infiltrate your country and defy the true and the living God, anytime you do that, it's going to be a spreading disease that's going to destroy our country. I tell you, my heart goes out to these boys and girls that are here because we are living in the world we're absolutely right now. Don't you hate it whenever there's a immigrant that's shown their picture and is on the most wanted list for having raped a little girl, raped or molested a little boy? See what I'm talking about? And as a result of that, you know, here we are. What do you do with them? I got to say to you that, if you will, somebody's going to give an account to God, no doubt for that. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find the reason why it's that way. The Bible said it because they've forgotten God. And as a result of that, you'll find is that, you know, that sin not only is a spreading thing, it's a contaminating thing, and it's in taking over the land. In fact is that whenever you begin to look into the Bible said that sin is transgression of the law of God. Every time you see what God said or hear what God said, and whether you hear it or see it or not, is that if you go contrary to what God said, you've sinned against God. This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, that if you know to do good and do it not, to him it's sin. You know, sometimes sin is not just a commission, but it's an omission. You knew what was right, you didn't do nothing about it. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, here's Adam and Eve. And you're going to find out is that there's a high price to pay for low living, and they're about to pay it. And as you look at it, you'll find out the heartbreak and the heartache. You remember that finally God said that man, the man came who tried to go his own route and route, and he got mad at God because God had no respect unto his offering. And yet you'll find God had respect to Abel and his offering. And as a result of that, they were talking one day in the field, and Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him and then tried to hide it. You can't hide sin. It'll finally catch up with you. And he tried to hide it, but he couldn't hide it. And one day God comes along and asks him, where is thy brother? And Cain going to be smart aleck about it. Why, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, his blood crieth up from the ground. And I want to tell you something right now is that when you begin to study that subject and all of that business there, Cain, buddy, had a mark put upon him by the hand of the Lord that couldn't be washed away, wiped away, and so forth and on. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, is that one of these days when you begin to read and begin to study, you'll find out, you know what his actions were? You know what he was doing? You know where he was going? You know what he was involved in? Well, it wasn't good, no doubt about that. Now, let me say to you that his attitude, okay, and you know, he argued with God. You know, when your attitude's not right with God, you'll try to argue with God. It sort of started out like this, pretty innocent. Well, I may be wrong, but now you're turning into a billy goat Baptist. And you're going to butt everything that you see. As you begin to look into this lesson, that's the reason why whenever you're here and preaching, you know, and it's salty and hot and hard and all that, and it's moving to the men, it gets quiet. And then when it moves to the women, amen, amen, now, here we go. Pay attention, honey, he's talking to you now. Just have a little talk with Jesus is not going to make it right. In this lesson here that we're looking at, you'll find out that his attitude toward God wasn't right, his attitude toward his family wasn't right, his attitude toward his church, if it had been one, was not right. And I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that what happens is he begins to listen to people more than he listens to God. And he wants to be like the rest of the world. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, there was a man, his name was Saul. Remember that? And he wanted to be the, he was anointed as the king. And when God told him, I want you to go and destroy all the children of Amalek, I want you to man, woman, and beast, and sucking child even, and all that business there. Whenever he showed back up, you'll find out that Samuel had preached and told him and all of that business there what he ought to be doing. And in chapter number 15 of the book of 1 Samuel, about verse number 23, when he gets over there, here he comes and he says, I've obeyed the Lord. And Samuel said, if you've obeyed God, what means the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle? And what means this King Agag standing here? Oh, yeah, but you don't understand. What I'm going to do is we're going to offer a big sacrifice unto God, and it'll be pleasing unto the Lord. And Samuel told him that it rings in our ears to obey God would have been better than sacrifice. You're not going to rise above obeying the blessed word of the Lord. And in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, whenever he rejected God and God's word, you know, it's a dangerous thing to reject what God says in his word. And let me say to you that whenever he rejected God, God rejected him, and Saul went down, down, down from that day forward till he fell upon his own sword and met his maker and died in the condition that he was in. This Bible said over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 10, about verse number 19, Israel started out and they got to wanting to be like the rest of the world. They wanted a king they could see. They didn't want to serve God, a king they couldn't see. They wanted a king they could see and be like the rest of the world. And God tells Samuel, go ahead and give them a king. I guarantee you right now is they're going to wish they had not, and all of that. But they have not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me, God said. What a sad day, what a sad commentary that it's been. Look at Israel to this day that's rejected their Maker, rejected their Messiah, rejected the Word of the Lord. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that as a result, when you say no to God, instead of saying no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, what you end up doing is you become like a modernist. You become like a liberal. You get to where the place, you know, the long-haired liberals. You ever notice how that's not now just out there in the world in the Southern Baptist Convention? Now it's in the Independent Baptist Church as well. And as a result of that, you know, is that you'll see a little bit here and a little bit there. Nobody dare say anything about it. Is that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you're going to find out that here's what happens is that the Bible said even nature teaches you. Doeth not nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him? Well, sure it does. You don't even have to look at the Bible. You can look at the animals that shed and nature that sheds. And this time of the year, my favorite time of the year is the fall of the year, when everything's turning brown and orange and some green in there mixed that hadn't yet turned. And I just love this time of the year. In fact is, if we could go out of the fall and jump right back into the fall again, it wouldn't bother me one bit, one iota. But see, God didn't consult me on that. And the reason being is because you cannot deer hunt year round and let certain people know about it. The fact is, you know, is that it's a shame that when you're sitting down, mosquitoes will just suck the blood right out of you. I've slapped some of them, buddy, and have to wash your garment because the blood splattered everywhere. I don't know where they got that much blood from, but surely not from me. I said all that to be able to say this, is that even nature tells us that it's wrong for a man to have long hair, but it's right for a woman to have long hair. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into the Bible, is that, you know, whenever I was growing up and started out preaching, people were saying stuff that was stupid like this. Is it, well, how long is long? Well, whenever your hair as a woman is getting short enough to where you can't look womanly, then you've crossed the line. If your hair as a man is getting long enough to where that you don't look manly, you've crossed the line. And you see what I'm talking about? I realize I know, and I've known people, you know, say, well, is that my wife don't wear breeches, and so, she wears breeches, but her hair's long, and she don't never cut it. So, what do you want me to do? You want me to give you a trophy or something like that, or are you just that big an idiot? Well, she only cuts the tip of it. Okay, now you're going to become a judge and tell me how much she can cut and how much she can't cut. When you get to the place that your hair makes you look like you're a woman, you've crossed the line, guys. You've crossed the line. When you get to where your hair is so short that you look now manly, you've crossed the line, girl. And the rest of that's going to be between you and God. Let's not go ahead and trade one sin for another one. God bless you. Thank you very much. And I do know I'm right. And as a result of that, I want you to look in your Bible over there in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to chapter number 22. Now, we're not going to spend time there. And we're not just going to jump on breeches-wearing women and all that business there. We're glad that you've got something to keep yourself covered up, so forth and on. But over in Deuteronomy chapter number 22 and about verse number 5. Now, I want you to listen particularly to it because we're not talking about women in breeches and all that business there. You already have heard enough of that to clothe the world. But look in verse 5, Deuteronomy 22, 5. And the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for that they that do so, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, see the word pertaineth there? See it? Somebody one of these days is going to say, well, what about women in the military? I'm glad you asked that question. Because women have no business being in the military. How do you know? The word pertaineth. Is that, well, you know, what about on the job, like a drilling rig job? There's women work out there. Women have no business being in a drilling rig job. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked that. The word pertaineth. Now, pay close attention. If you look up the word pertaineth, here's what it means. It means implement. A woman ought not to be using the same implement that a man does. It means a utensil. A woman ought not to be using the same utensil. It means dress. It means vessel. It means weapon. It means armor. It means artillery. It means bag. It means tool. That pretty much sums it up, friend, that's the reason why the military's in the mess it's in. They have violated the word pertaineth in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Now, I've got nothing against. The fact is, if we were getting in a big fight, there's several of you women I'd like on my side. I realize and know that it'd be a lot. You'd have to have a little money for manicure because after y'all clawed out a few eyeballs and stuff. But there's a few of you that I guarantee you right now are feisty enough. I'm not against that. But let me just say to you that all the military and all the implements and all the utensils and all the tools and bag, women ought not to be having the same job. And let me tell you right up front is that it's not biblical for a woman to be in the military of the United States of America. Look at the mess that we're in. Now, if a preacher were to get up and preach that, I'm sure they'd get that straightened out and you'd be strung up by tomorrow. I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that the reason why is that we're in the mess that we're in. There's a passage over there. I'm going to give it to you in 1 Corinthians, I think, is where it's at. And it's in about chapter number 6. I'm going to give it to you in a moment if we get time to look at it. And if we don't, we'll take time anyway and get through with it. But I want you to look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number six, and it's in about verse number 9. I'll give you a second to find out while I'm hunting for it. All right, 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out that it's our job and our responsibility. Now, some of these boys, you know, they're, and all of our young men, we don't have any boys that are prissy talkers and all that right there. And by prissy talking, I'm talking about they're gay, but they're not happy. And I want you to watch, and I want you to give you a scenario so you'll know it, is that in chapter number 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, here's what the Bible says there in verse number 9. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate. See that word effeminate there? That's prissy talking, acting, talking men, or masculine women. Nor effeminate, nor, look, abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, that's a past tense word, some of you, but you're washed, and but you're sanctified, and but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now I want you to watch this and pay close attention. I had a lady one time, an argument, because of the fact is that there was a prissy actor in their church, and they said, well, you know, they were not caught in anything, and there's nothing you can do about it if they hadn't been caught to be doing anything. I said, oh, yes, you can. That Bible said if they're effeminate, if they're prissy acting and sissy acting, that's enough for me to not allow you to be able to hold an office or to get up before a congregation unless you deceive some of these other boys or girls. See? And let me say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, is that being soft-spoken and wearing... You know, Jesus asked over there about when you went out to see John the Baptist, what did you expect to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Somebody wearing soft clothing? They that wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. And let me tell you right now is that when you begin to look into it, you'll find out is that people that are effeminate, people that are bisexual, you know what bisexual means? You're queer. If you like both sides of the fence, men and women, you're queer. Well, I also like and the other. Well, you're queer. Now, I want to say that so that you'll know this. I've dealt with a few things in days gone by, and I'm going to give this out to you, and then I'm leaving. I'm going to stop for the morning, leave for the day. There was a time that we lived in Houston. Oh, my word, I want to cough and spit and puke every time I say Houston. A man in Houston was married and had a little boy. And she would wake up sometimes in the morning and catch him sneaking back in, or late at night, find out when she woke up to go to the restroom that her husband was gone. And as a result, sometime would catch him slipping back into the house. He was waiting for her to fall asleep at night, and then what he would do is he would slip out and go run the roads and do what he wanted. I asked him point blank and said, you got another woman? He said, no. I said, it's another man, isn't it? And boy, he broke down crying. Jude, verse number 7, calls that strange flesh. And as a result of it, they're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I want to say to you, if you will, when you begin to look into it, is that here's a man that doesn't have the clothing of God upon him. He stands naked and open before the Lord without hope and without God. There's a passage in Isaiah, it's in chapter number, I believe it's 61, and I want to read in closing. Remember when the prodigal son came home, they killed the fatted calf and put what? The best robe on him. Let me tell you, the best robe is the robe God puts on you. And as a result of that, you'll find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse number 10, he said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath chosen me and hath clothed me, rather, with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For the earth bringeth forth in her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in the spring forth to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth in all the nations. Now, I want to tell you, we've got a world of messed up thinking. I don't want to sound ugly and mean and this and that right there, but the reason why Kamala Harris don't deserve to be president is that she's a woman. More than that, she's a black woman. She's out of a servant race. And as a result of that, look at the condition that our world of United States of America has gotten in by defying God. Of course, do you realize and know that the big, hairy-looking dude, white man that's running that I'll be voting for? Does anybody know when voting, early voting is? Is that Monday? Monday? Monday it is. All right, I'm going to go up there and tell him. You said it'd be that Monday. Anyhow, don't forget. I don't think it'll do any good whatsoever, but I go and vote. That gives me the privilege to be able to gripe about whatever turned out. You know, if you don't vote, you got no reason to gripe. But, I mean, at least if you'll vote, you can stand up and say, I voted, and I'm going to raise some cane about some stuff. I want to say to you that, if you will, that you sat here before me this morning, make no mistake about it, only God can give you the adequate clothing and the best robe and the robe of righteousness that'll cause you to be able to stand before Him. One day hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. If you're a child of God, what a wonderful day that will be. While we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, now, Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. And I pray you'd finish the message in every heart. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done, for all you're doing, and for all you're going to do. Now, I pray that, Lord, you had your will and your way, not only in our hearts and lives, but in this country, in this land that we're in. And give us space and grace to repent. In Jesus' name we pray.